This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد, when we find ourselves on the day of Ashura, we remember as the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام remembered Allah's gift to Musa عليه السلام. And in fact, it's not simply a gift to Musa and his people, but it's a gift to every believer who lived ever after till the day of judgment. Because we exist as part of this link that keeps us connected to every other believer, and in fact, most importantly, to all the prophets of Allah Azza wa Jal, to their sacrifices and to their wins, to the victory that Allah Azza wa Jal gave each and every one of them. Because we today would not be possible, our history, our present would not be possible today, were not for what happened to Musa alayhi salam and the drowning of Pharaoh. So we remember that incident with fasting. And we fasted because Musa alayhi salam fasted that, and Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam fasted that, following the footsteps of Musa. And it says there, said in the hadith, that when he came to Medina alayhi salatu wasalam and he found the Jews fasting it, and he asked them, "Why are you fasting this day?" And they said, "Hada yawmun azim," this is a great day. So I want you to internalize all of this about this particular day, especially if you're fasting it. They said, "This is a great day. Najjallahu fihi Musa wa aghraqa fir'auna wa ala." On this great day, Allah saved Musa and drowned Pharaoh and his followers. Fasamahu Musa shukran lillah. So Musa fasted it in thankfulness and gratitude to Allah Azza wa Jal. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "We are closer to Musa than you are." So he fasted it and he commanded people to fast it. Highlight here that Musa alayhi salam, who witnessed this great favor from Allah Azza wa Jal, felt compelled to do something to thank him for it. And what he did was fasting. And here, ibadah is gratitude. Ibadah is thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you notice His blessings, one after the other, one greater than the other, and you really appreciate that Allah gave them to you without any precedence, without doing anything to be worthy of them, without any precedence of good deeds or good behavior or a dua even, but that Allah gives them to you, one after the other, conceals our sins, multiplies our good deeds, protects us, gives us spouses and children and homes, and on top of all of that, gives us guidance to Islam. The bounty of knowing Him subhanahu wa ta'ala is above any other bounty. The bounty of being able to read the Quran and discover what is right and what is wrong, to treat our own illnesses, to comfort our own anxieties, to rescue ourselves from depression, from the lack of certainty of life, to be able to have access to all of this, all of these are ni'mas from Allah Azza wa Jal, and only those who do not have it truly appreciate it. So when you see these ni'mas one after the other, you will be compelled to do something in return. What do I do in return? Because I must thank him subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. And that is how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam behaved. When Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked him, why do you pray so much at night while Allah azza wa jal forgave you all of your sins? And he said alayhi salatu wa salam, afala akunu abdan shakura, shall I not be a thankful, grateful servant of him subhanahu wa ta'ala? That is when he saw alayhi salatu wa salam that Allah gave me all of this and forgave me all of my sins. Should I spend my nights asleep? Or rather, I feel that I need to thank him and say thank you for this. To appreciate these ni'mas. So he stands up in salah without any compulsion, alayhi salatu wa salam, without any fear of sin. It's not hellfire here that motivates him. But here, Allah Azza wa Jal gave me, and I would be embarrassed and ashamed to be asleep and not stand up and thank him for what he had given to me. So he does it willingly and lovingly, alayhi salatu wa salam. So here we want to understand that shift in our approach to ibadah. Especially on a day like this, can we fast today if we're fasting in gratitude to Allah Azza wa Jal? Yes, there is the great bounty in it of forgiveness of sins. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us of those who are forgiven on this day and similar days. But it doesn't stop there. Can I not fast also to thank Allah Azza wa Jal for the blessings that I have? And if in the midst of your journey in this life you lost sight of these ni'mas, recover your awareness of them and remember some of the ni'mas that you have today and say, I'm going to spend the rest of the day by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal fasting, staying away from what I love to thank him for what he had given me that I love. Pick a ni'mah or two or five or ten and thank Allah Azza wa Jal for them. But say, I am fasting and I am praying and I'm making dua and I'm staying away from the haram today and hopefully tomorrow and the day after because I want to thank Allah Azza wa Jal for these things. So first, thank him for your own ni'mah. Second, thank him for the ni'mah of Musa alayhi salam and the destruction of Pharaoh. To understand from that incident that Allah Azza wa Jal defends and champions the believers at every time and place. And what happened with Musa and against Pharaoh can repeat today. That is, whenever the believers stand up for Allah's sake and against what he hates and they sacrifice, and they are met with resistance from the pharaohs that we have today. And they think that they're about to lose and that they have no power to fight them. They all must remember the story of Musa alayhi salam and Pharaoh. When فَلَمَّ تَرَاءَ الْجَمْعَانِ قَالَ أَصْحَابُ مُوسَى إِنَّا لَمُدْرَكُونَ. When they fled Egypt trying to escape their injustice, the injustice of Pharaoh and his soldiers. And when they got glimpses of each other, because the soldiers were not content, Pharaoh was not content to just let them leave. No, he has to subjugate, he has to humiliate, he has to enslave, and he has to punish. So when he ran after them and they got glimpses of each other, the believers with Musa alayhi salam, they said, we will be overtaken. We don't have the power and the means to be able to fend them off and defeat them. We'll definitely be overtaken and be killed or brought back and enslaved. And Musa alayhi salam, he said, no. Kalla, inna ma'iya rabbi sayahdeen. I have Allah with me. Allah is with me and he will guide me. And it is this absolute trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that splits the sea. A staff or a stick has no ability to do this. But because Allah commands them, do this. And I will open up a path that you would not imagine that it could open. So every one of us who may lose hope at times, if you are in trouble at this moment, anticipating trouble later on, it doesn't merely matter. Allah Azza wa Jal had given you, in a sense, a figurative staff like Musa alayhi salam, that if you trust Allah Azza wa Jal enough and you make dua and you do what Allah wants from you, then you strike with your staff the difficulty and it will split and it will open and Allah will create from you a path from where you do not see. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. If you have taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah will give you ease in your affairs. If you're going through any type of trouble at this moment and you're thinking it is very difficult, you know what the medicine for that is? Taqwa. Not disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal, taqwa. Because if you have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the impossible becomes possible. The path will be illuminated. The enemies that Allah Azza wa Jal hates will evaporate. There are nothing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing is great in front of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you want something from Him, never lose hope. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Never despair of Allah's mercy. So on a day like this, whether if you look at it globally and you see the world upside down, the people of righteousness are the weakest and the people of wickedness have all the strength. Right is wrong and wrong is right. And you might despair of ever changing that situation. If you speak the truth, you will be silenced. And you may think that there is no way out of it. Remember that Allah Azza wa Jal always has a way out for the believers. And that the balance of powers can shift in a minute if Allah Azza wa Jal decides. So when you look at Pharaoh, don't look at the power of Pharaoh, look at the drowning of Pharaoh. And when you look at Musa and his followers, don't look at the weakness of Musa and his followers, look at who is with them. And then you'll know who has power and who doesn't. Then you know who should despair and who should be alarmed. فَهَلْ يَنْتَظِرُونَ إِلَّا مِثْلَ أَيَّامِ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. قُلْ فَانْتَظِرُوا إِنِّي مَعَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُنْتَظِرِينَ. Allah tells them, are they waiting for anything but like the days of those people who perished before them, were punished before them? So then he says to his Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, tell them, wait, I'm waiting for you. ثُمَّ نُنَجِّي رُسُلَنَا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كَذَلِكَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Then we save our messengers and the believers. And so it is written, it's must, Allah Azza wa Jal had made it a promise. It is a must and a promise that we will save the believers. So the story of Musa and Pharaoh, alayhi salam, repeats in every generation, repeats with every people, and repeats internally with every one of us. So never lose hope, and never despair, and believe that Allah Azza wa Jal will come to your aid if you champion Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِن تَنصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنصُرْكُمْ. If you champion Allah, He will champion you. If you are with Allah, Allah will be with you. But if we are distant, then when we see the humiliation and the distance and loss. But let's go back to the idea of gratitude, of living a life when we are not trapped by what we do not have, by our losses, by our negative emotions, but rather we are looking at everything that Allah Azza wa Jal had given to us, and we are hopeful that He will continue to bless us subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're hopeful that He will always be with us subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this cannot happen only mentally. It needs to happen physically and practically. The more that you engage in the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more that you will feel the assurance of faith. We could lecture and we could talk and you could read about it. And that is all beautiful and fine. But not until that you actually start to believe it and you practice it and you pray and you fast and you make dua, that theory becomes into practice and you truly see it and you truly believe in it. So So when we say, appreciate the ni'mas of Allah Azza wa Jalla, you say, how am I supposed to do this? And I'm so far away from Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we say, do you read the Qur'an? How can you be close to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you do not read His book? Because Allah Azza wa Jalla repeatedly will wake you up so that you would see His ni'mas in them. Do you have a practice of saying Alhamdulillah for everything that happens? Alhamdulillah alladhi bi ni'matihi tatimmu salihat. Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. That's the habit of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wassalam. If he sees something that he likes, Alhamdulillah alladhi bi ni'matihi tatimmu salihat. Something that he is not happy with, Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. Alhamdulillah for whatever happens. Do you have a practice of saying Alhamdulillah no matter what? Or once things start going wrong, you start insulting and cussing and being angry, damning this and damning that, rather than saying Alhamdulillah that this has happened, seeing the hand of Allah behind everything that is happening. If your car doesn't start, Allah is behind it. You don't need to be angry. Fix it. But there's a message from Allah Azza wa Jal behind that. If there is trouble at home, be grateful and say Alhamdulillah and then fix it. But that is something, that's a message from Allah Azza wa Jal that something is missing, something is not right. If you get sick, Alhamdulillah for that as well, because the sin that it takes away is more than the pain that it brings to you. Everything that happens to you deserves Alhamdulillah. From the time that you wake up, Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi an-nushur. Alhamdulillah alladhi radda alayya ruhi wa afani fi jasadi wa adhina li bi dhikrihi. When you first wake up, what do you say? Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah that Allah brought my soul back to me, made my body healthy, and allowed me to remember Him. Alhamdulillah who brought my soul back after He took it away, and we all shall return to Him and be resurrected. And if you begin your day with Alhamdulillah, and everything that you eat and drink is followed with Alhamdulillah, the beginning of your work, the end of your work, the ending of every task, and by what the time that you go to bed, you also say Alhamdulillah for all these ni'mas, then you'll start seeing the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then you'll start to make dua. You'll start to thank Allah for the things that He had given to you. You'll start asking Allah for the things that you don't have and you want from Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doors will open that you couldn't see. And then you could be truly thankful. So let us be more grateful to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's switch our ibadah from an obligation or a burden into a gratitude to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the good that He has given and will give. Remember His ni'mas and thank them, and they will stay and they will be multiplied. نسأل الله أن نكون من الشاكرين نسأل الله أن نكون من المستغفرين ونسأله أن نكون من المتقبلين عنده رب العالمين. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه وأصلي وأسلم على رسوله محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد, as we said that the day of Ashura is a day of hope and a day of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must emphasize that it's also not a day of mourning, and it's not a day of sadness, and it's not a day of vengeance. It's not a day when we remember the killing of Al-Hussein radiyallahu anhu. And that is because, first of all, and of course, asserting before all of that, that the killing of Al-Hussein, the grandchild of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, was a great tragedy, a stain, a mistake, a great injustice. But he, by that radiyallahu anhu, deserved shahada. He attained martyrdom because of it. So on the one hand, it saddens you, but on the other hand, you understand that we had, what he had went through elevated him in ranks with him, so with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that stated, it is not an opportunity to revive that incident. Because the main incident on that day is what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had pointed to, which is the saving of Musa and the destruction of Pharaoh. Second of all, we are not aware in Islam or in any other sharia that Allah Azza wa Jal had revealed that when somebody dies righteous, that his memory is to be generated every single day in sadness and in agony, imitating the injuries that had happened to him. We're aware in the Quran that Allah Azza wa Jal states that there were prophets that were killed for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, right? Prophets were killed in the Quran, Allah states, for Allah's sake. And then when you ask yourself, and this is a rational argument, who is better in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal? As virtuous as Al-Husayn is with Allah Azza wa Jal, is he better or a prophet of Allah? And the answer should be, if we have aqeedah, and that's why aqeedah is really important, the answer is a prophet of Allah is definitely better. But does Allah Azza wa Jal command the commemoration of their martyrdom, of their death, every single day or every single year? We don't find that, not in Judaism, not in Christianity, and not in Islam. So if that's the case, why are we commemorating the death and the killing of anybody else? Why are we not commemorating the killing of Uthman radiallahu anhu? Just to understand, Uthman, again, aqeedah is better. Who's better? Right? But even if you don't believe that Uthman is better than Hussein, if you belong to the other side, but if you do not commemorate the killing of Uthman, and before him, Umar, and after him, Ali, radiallahu anhum, and all of them were killed. And who is better, Ali or Al-Husayn? So if we do not observe the killing of Ali, radiallahu anhu, why are we observing the killing of Al-Husayn, especially in ways and in manners that conflict with the Sharia of Islam? How is hurting yourself and bloodying your body serving any cause? Again, rationally think about it. How is this serving any cause? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he said, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَطَمَ الْخُدُودَ وَشَقَّ الْجُيُوبَ وَدَعَى بِدَعْوَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. He says, he's not one of us, the one who strikes the face and tears the clothes and wails and cries over the dead. Meaning your own relative. It is haram for you to do this, because this is all our acts of jahiliyyah. So when you see people trying to commemorate or get closer to Al-Husayn radiallahu anhu, through these acts you understand that these acts are not from Islam. They were imported from outside, inserted in, and somebody told them this is Islam. Rationally again, think about it. How does this serve your cause? How does this champion Al-Husayn, how does it avenge his death and what happened to him? Furthermore, when you revive an incident like this, what is the goal of it? When we're talking about Musa and Pharaoh, it's clear, the sides are clear, Iman and Kufr. When you're bringing in an incident like this, who is the target? Because Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah, there is no one among them who approves the killing of Al-Husayn, or was on the side of the killers of those who killed Al-Husayn. And they consider them to be guilty and criminals for that act. And they say Allah's rahmah and blessings upon Al-Husayn, and they consider him to be, as the hadith states, Sayyida Shababi Ahlil Jannah, of the best of the youth in Jannah. So if that's the case, when you rise in anger and you say that you avenge the killers of Al-Husayn, who are the killers of Al-Husayn today? By the way, all those who participated in the killing of Al-Husayn, radiallahu anhu, all of them were killed. So who's left of that? Where is this anger directed towards? And it's only created friction and animosity between Muslims. And that's not something that we need. None of the people that you will see today is a killer of Al-Husayn. None of the people that you see today supports Yazid in what Yazid has done. Right? Again, so who is this directed to? And by the way, also, when al-Husayn radiallahu anhu rose and he went all the way to Iraq, to al-Kufa, he did not say to people, I had a divine mandate for Imamah. Like, I am marching under Allah's command because I am the Imam, the rightful Imam, and I'm the one who is supposed to be the leader. He did not say that to them. Well, you tell me, how do you know that? I'm going to dispute that claim. He say, look to Al-Hasan. Al-Hasan, did he believe that he was divinely mandated Imam? If you say yes, then why did he hand that to Muawiyah radiallahu anhum ajma'een? If he was appointed by Allah Azza wa Jal, understand, that would be a divine mission. Like a prophet would have a divine mission. Will the prophet have leniency or the flexibility to say, I no longer want to do this? Can he quit? No, it's divinely mandated. You have to go through it till the end and follow Allah's command. So if you're an imam, that is your title and that is your mission and that is your job. You die until you fulfill it. So if Al-Hasan radiallahu anhu believed that he was a divine imam, how could he hand this to Muawiyah radiallahu anhu and say, you are the leader and I'm a follower of yours now? There is no divine mandate. There is no imamah. And so Al-Husayn radiallahu anhu did not go there. Yes, he felt that he would be a better leader, but he did not go there religiously, feeling that I am the imam and everybody else is illegitimate. So why turn such a political conflict into a religious one that you want to extend all the way till today and divide people into two categories? If you are not with us, you're with Yazid. And that is very problematic. So we ask that on such a day that we actually retrieve the original meaning of that day. Don't be lost into whatever innovative practice was added later on. And rationally think, if we cannot, with other sects, if we cannot agree on the sunnah, we can argue through the Quran. If not even that, if the interpretation is different, at least rationally we can say, this makes sense and this does not make sense. So revive the original meaning of Ashura. Don't let it be about marching and crying and wailing, but rather let it be about the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and what he did and how he lived it and how he experienced it. And for the rest of the day when you're fasting, engage in acts of ibadah in thankfulness to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So fast, dhikr of Allah azza wa jal, dua on a day such as this is accepted. And salah and salam upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, do as much of it as you can. Sadaqah for the masjid and elsewhere. And repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And let all of these occasions be every moment, every day of repentance. So you'll say today, bi'idhnillah azza wa jal, I want to repent and I want to be better. And the next Friday you do that. And the next Friday you do this. And every other Islamic occasion is an opportunity for this. So ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbal Alameen, Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Allah, forgive us our sins on this day. Ya Allah, accept our fasting from us. Ya Allah, accept our fasting from us. Ya Allah, accept our fasting from us. Ya Allah, cleanse our fasting from all things that will spoil it. Allah, accept our fasting from us. I cleanse it from everything that will spoil it. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Forgive us the sins of the past year. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Grant us a sincere repentance to make us better Muslims in the upcoming year. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Wa ask Ya Rabbal Alameen to make us grateful servants of yours. To make us of those who observe and notice your ni'mas and thank you for them. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Allah, bless the ni'mas that you have given to us and multiply them, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Allah, make us of the people of Jannah, not of the people of hellfire. Make us of the people of Iman, not of the people of kufr and hypocrisy. Make us of the people of obedience, not of the people of sin, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Allah, make us of those who are good to their parents, good to their spouses, good to their children, good to their neighbors, and good to the Ummah of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam and to the rest of humanity. Make us, Ya Rabbal Alameen, of those who call on you and you answer them, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Make us of those who love you and you love them back, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Make us of those who are closest to your Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, on the Day of Judgment. Forgive us all of our sins, the internal ones and the external ones, the ones that we remember and the ones that we forgot about, the major ones and the minor ones. Make us, Ya Rabbal Alameen, better Muslims today that we were yesterday, and better Muslims tomorrow than we are today. We ask, Ya Rabbal Alameen, for all the good in this life and in the hereafter, and protect us from all evil in this life and in the hereafter. Allahumma atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. اللهم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك اللهم جدد الإيمان في قلوبنا اللهم جدد الإيمان في قلوبنا اللهم جدد الإيمان في قلوبنا اللهم لا تجعلنا من الغافلين اللهم لا تجعلنا من الغافلين اللهم لا تجعلنا من الغافلين وادخلنا الجنة أجمعين اللهم تقبل منا الصيام اللهم تقبل منا الصيام اللهم تقبل منا الصيام واغفر لنا ذنوبنا أجمعين واجعلنا من أهل الجنة لا من أهل النار يا رب العالمين نحن وأولادنا وأزواجنا وآباؤنا ومن نحب يا رب العالمين وسائر أمة محمد عليه الصلاة والسلام وأقم الصلاة.